Hey guys, welcome back. Welcome in. Thanks for hitting the download button one more time. I'm Pastor Dave, sitting with Randall, the armor bearer. We are
They That Believe.
This is where church culture meets pop culture. We talk entertainment news, geek news, current events, world news, all filtered through a lens of lifestyle Christianity. Okay, I have been on a killing spree of sorts. I've been sniping folks on the internet. I'm unfriending or flouncing. I'm doing a lot of that, it seems, these days.
Didn't Jimmy Kimmel used to have like a national unfriend day? Like you're supposed to go through and unfriend people off your Facebook?
Never heard of that.
Yeah.
I think a good practice overall, like every so often, and a lot of people do that anyway, every so often you go through your list and folks that you've never heard of or don't even remember who they are, why you even came into contact. I have contacts in my phone like that.
Yeah.
I'll scroll through my old phone contacts and it's like, who is that? You know, you meet somebody one time or you have some kind of business engagement with them, you save their number and you never talk to them.
I stopped putting names down on some people. I just have phone guy, trampoline guy.
Okay. Yeah. So you know who they are. Yeah. Some context or a not a pneumatic device. What do they call that? Mnemonic. Device.
Yeah.
Pneumatic. So, yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Let me start here. Have you seen, or maybe I thought today, maybe you had even posted or shared something like this. There are these memes that look like posters or whatever that say this kind of sentiment that just because you're my friend and I disagree with you or politics, I'm not going to unfriend you. And do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah.
Did you post one of those?
No,
sure? I didn't think so.
No.
Okay.
I think that the unfriending should be something you don't talk about.
I don't.
Like on Facebook, you don't.
No.
Like if you're pitching a no-hitter, you don't talk about the no-hitter.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Some people do. And not that I haven't mentioned or referenced unfriending at some point in time, but I don't do it in a way that whoever would be the target of my unfriending, like I don't single them out. I generally try. I don't let them know.
Because I had a lady the other day that was like, I just cleaned up my friends list. And if you're still reading this, then you made the cut. It's like,
yeah.
Well, thank you.
That is unnecessary. Of course, that's kind of a different thing than I think where I was kind of wanting to go. But I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That's when you do like the spring cleaning.
Yeah.
You clean out the list. Still, even in that instance, probably, good taste would dictate, why draw attention to
right.
it. I've maybe referenced unfriending someone a time or two. Probably shouldn't have, and if I did it, I did it sparingly, and if I did it, it was probably in anger, but it would always have been after the unfriending, so that the person being unfriended would
never
not
see it.
Yeah. So,
have you ever blocked anybody?
You can't really do that on Facebook, can you?
Yeah, you can block them where they can't see anything.
Well, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I have maybe once or twice in all my Facebook history.
Yeah.
I have most of my stuff set now to where like only my friends can see it, not public. Well, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, because things are, we've been joking just about every time it seems like we come in here and sit down, we get to joking about how angry people are and all the vitriol that surrounds the campaign season and all that. Where is the line for you? Obviously, you've got plenty of political back and forth in your feed. We all do. Is there a line for you? Where is that? How much are you willing to take from somebody that's a friend? Or
I don't know. Some of it's funny, I think, like the conspiracy theorists and stuff. Some of that stuff is hilarious. But I don't, like if somebody has a differing opinion of me, it wouldn't make me want to unfriend them or any of that stuff,
I think for me, it depends on my relationship. My relationship with that person. Is this somebody that, is it a you?
Yeah.
You know, like you, somebody that I know very well? Mm-hmm. Is it just a casual acquaintance? I'm probably less inclined to tolerate as much from them. Is it something that warrants just an unfollowing? Like, I don't want to disconnect completely from this person.
Yeah.
But I don't want any more of their garbage to show up in my news feed. Trying to think, here's some examples of like what I saw recently. This last one is really interesting because it sort of wasn't political. I guess maybe depending on how you define that, but a lady that I know who I'll just say not very close with, only acquainted, and really had probably only met or spoken to her in person maybe once. Mm-hmm. Now, I did trade some messages with her several years ago or a couple of years ago. She was having some problems at her church, was worried about the – she had a great church and was worried about the future of her church. The pastor was leaving, and what do we do? And she kind of reached out to me basically for some counsel, you mm-hmm. know, on how to stay connected with her church and keep things going. So that, you know, we've had some good conversations. Of course, those were done privately. Mm-hmm. But – she's one of these people, and I want to be kind. I certainly wouldn't identify her. She needs attention. Mm-hmm. She needs a lot of attention, and she's on Facebook seeking attention a lot. Every post is either about what a hard day I'm having, what's all these things that have been done to me, how right. sick I am, or and then all the posts the next day are all these memes about, you know, I'm a strong person. I can make it through all that. You know, again, all communicating the same thing.
Right.
Which is, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Yeah. And I had been considering for, because that has gotten a little tiresome. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, what does it matter? You know, especially somebody you don't really know. It doesn't really, other than that's, I don't need to see that all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, imagine if these were phone calls that you were receiving from people. Mm-hmm. At every moment, and this was the the content of your phone call.
Right?
How are you? Well, I'm this and that, but I'm a strong person. But I've been diagnosed with this, and this mm-hmm. happened to me, and you know, somebody ran over my dog, and my house blew away, and I lost my job, and on and on and on and on. You know what I mean? You would right. start skipping those person's calls.
Right. You'd start looking at the caller ID a little bit better.
So there are some people like that that I have just unfollowed. And I had been considering for some time for this. And please don't misunderstand. This is not a bad person. Mm-hmm. She's not an ugly or a bad person at all. It's just a question of, I don't know her well enough to talk to her about any of this stuff. So I'm not going to address it. I'm not going to correct her. It's not mm-hmm. my job to go in there and go, boy, you sure do like seeking all this attention. You know, that's not, we don't know each other that well enough.
Should be a Facebook court where they review your messages.
Facebook court. There yeah. should be. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Well, no, you can't judge people. We can't judge them.
Don't want to shame them.
You can't judge her circumstances. But so I've been considering for some time maybe flouncing on this person. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't have any connection to her, I really don't. Mm-hmm. And I kind of have been putting it off, I think, because I do still at heart think, you know, I think good things about her. I think mm-hmm. she's a good person.
Right.
Well, I finally pulled the trigger on her this week. Uh-oh. Let me tell you what happened.
What broke the camel's back?
Well, it was a combination of things. So stay with me, because I don't want you to think the first thing you hear is really what it's about, although it was a factor. She posted an anti-vaccination meme. I know. Something to the effect of, if you claim that my unvaccinated kid made your vaccinated kid sick, then vaccines don't really work, do they? Ha ha, or something like that. You know, which demonstrates absolutely no knowledge of science.
Scientifically correct.
Yeah, exactly. It's internet logic.
Yeah. I had the same thing yesterday. That's so funny, because I saw someone that I never would have guessed would have been
an anti-vaxxer,
and she's just pulled up like all this stuff.
Wow. So that put my eyebrows up. Mm-hmm. Again, there's probably, if I dug enough, I'd probably find a bunch of people that I know that probably care. Well, not only crazy ideas about that, but crazy ideas about everything. Yeah. You know? So I didn't, you know, that wasn't enough. It didn't make me angry. It wasn't enough for me to. So I commented on it, and I said something to the effect of, I hope you're not serious. Please tell me you're not one of these anti-vaccination people.
Oh, my gosh. Was she?
Not completely.
Oh, okay.
But now here's the thing. This was not a problem. Mm-hmm. This was merely something that kind of concerned me, something that maybe she had feelings about. She posted for people to comment publicly, which I did. We don't really have a problem at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, at best, until she explains herself, it appears maybe we have just a disagreement on something.
Right.
Well, she had. Now, you've had this happen, I know. She had another friend whom I don't know at all. Don't know from Adam. Uh-huh. Don't have no idea who this person is. Mm-hmm. Now, I looked at his Facebook page and gleaned a lot of information about who he might be very quickly. But in any event, he jumped in and he took it to the next level. Uh-huh. Immediately, everybody needs to do their research. You need to wake up people. And
oh, gosh.
And then did this. And this is a big Facebook no-no. And if you do this, knock it off. Listen to me. If you're out there and you do this, do Quit. Not do this. He, this person that I did not know, commenting in a thread shared by a mutual friend, called me by name.
Ooh.
And said, well, I think Dave needs to do some research. Now, he's when he says you and some, it's spelled like the letter U. When he said I needed to do some research, he spelled some, S-U-M. Mm-hmm. You know, this a man of science, yes. Obviously. A scholar,
man of letters.
A scholar and a man of science, yeah. And I'm thinking, well, Mike, you know, hooked on phonics worked for me. So either way, that's what it turned into. And then now I didn't respond to him, mm-hmm. and I don't, especially with somebody that I don't know. What I'm saying for the lesson within this story, if you and I are personally acquainted, mm-hmm. if somebody comments in a thread of yours or something that I don't know that person. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to address them as if I know them.
Right.
And I'm certainly not going to engage them or be rude. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what happened is because I don't think that this young lady, I don't think she responded for some time. Mm-hmm. And her friend who came in and hijacked her post, I didn't respond. So he turned his attention away from me. Well, another of her friends did. And got into it with this guy. So here they go. They're going back and forth. And this guy's being real insulting and real condescending. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious as an observer looking at him, you know, he's saying doing research. And where'd you do your research? Well, all his research came on the internet. Yeah. He kept wanting everybody to watch a YouTube video. Right. He's like, well, I can't figure out how to post this video here. If I can show y'all this YouTube video, like everybody will figure this out. And then the other friend... our mutual friend of this girl who's commenting and giving it back to him, mm-hmm. Comes in with some science, and so she's obviously very smart. She's actually spelling words correctly. And he just gets, you know, out of sorts with her and out of the way. Mm-hmm. Oh, and some swearing and all that kind of thing. And it really put me off. Mm-hmm. Now, is that her fault? Not necessarily, okay? Mm-hmm. You can't necessarily be held accountable,
right,
for what people say. If you post something and somebody says something ugly underneath it, mm-hmm. but can you take control of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she didn't. And what I did was delete what I had written. I deleted my post. I started to like scrub myself
yeah.
from the thread.
I'm going to remove myself from this argument.
Which, unfortunately, I can't remove my name from uh-huh. this guy's, which I wish you could do that. I wish you could untag yourself when somebody does that. Mm-hmm. Because, like, if you want to post something on my timeline or tag me in something.
If you block him, that he won't be able to tag yeah. you in anything.
Well, it was already done
yeah.
either way. And she did come in at one point and then say, you know, everybody calm down. I didn't mean for everybody, you know, to get your underwear in a bunch about this or something like mm-hmm. that. But what bugged me was that she didn't call the one person in this thread who was being out of the way mm-hmm. and condescending and offensive and swearing. You know, she should have put him in his place.
Right.
So that was kind of for me. I was like, you know what? I don't really know you. I think you're a great person. And I'm thinking to myself, lots of luck in life, but I'm gone.
Was your finger hovering over the key, like when you're ready to push it, like, do I know?
No. Yeah, no. No. Just... no. Once I made the decision, mm-hmm. no. I was good. I don't know if that really counts as political or not. But, you know, two things there. Well, three things. Several things there. I'll call back to. If you don't know somebody personally, don't get in the thread of a mutual friend, hijack it, and start attacking other people. Comment on, you know, what your friend has posted. Mm-hmm. If I, you know, make a post tomorrow, you know, that says tacos are delicious, mm-hmm. and you want to jump in and go, yes, they are, and I like to have them over at Joe Blow's place, mm-hmm. I don't want another person that I don't know come in and then start insulting you and going, well, Randall needs to know that, you know, at Joe's Taco Shack, they serve roaches in their tacos, and he needs to do his research and watch a YouTube video. And, you know, I'm not going to put up with that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to argue with somebody that I don't know. It's forward to me. Now, of course, that's I understand that's our internet culture now. And if this lady had just cared enough to scrub that or send her friend a private message that says, hey, knock it off. These people, you know, if you want to say your opinion, say your opinion, but
start your own thread.
Engage. Well, you can comment on mine.
But I mean,
comment on what I've shared, but don't attack my friends.
If you're going to get into an argument with somebody else on, you know, then start your own thread.
That you don't know.
Right.
People that you have no idea, but yet you're addressing by name and arguing with. And I can't do that. And I felt bad for the one girl who came in behind us because she did. She bit the worm. She went after it. And they went after each other, and I just kind of ejected and scrubbed myself. So, yeah, that was one. Well, you have any thoughts on that before I go on to another?
But I was going to ask, do you keep anybody on your Facebook just to make you feel better about yourself?
I don't think so. What do you mean?
Well, because there's this one girl that's on my Facebook.
No, because most of them don't make me feel very good, honestly.
Well, you know, and I'm a pretty humble person, really, and I don't want to come off like I'm not, but, you know, there's this one girl on my Facebook, and it's like her life is a living train wreck.
I just keep
her around because it's like watching the bug hit the window.
Makes you feel better about your own life. Okay. Well, I have those people, but see, I haven't really thought of it that way. Well, let me ask you this, though. Is it like the people I've described where maybe it's embellished for sake of attention, or do you believe this person's life is really is it really that bad?
Oh, I think it probably is really that bad. I mean, from her side, she probably thinks it's great, but looking at it from the outside, you're like, oh my gosh. You know, her relationship status changes every day.
Oh, I know some of those.
Like one day she's single, the next day she's in love, you know, and then a couple of days later they're fighting, and then, you know, it's like constantly.
Yeah, I've got a couple of those that every time I turn around is in a relationship with new name. And been married twice, like in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And had a bunch of new relationships in between. Changing men like to change underwear.
Yeah.
Okay. So how some people choose to live their lives, I guess. So where is the line for you? I mean, do you know what I'm talking about? Have you been attacked by like somebody you don't know in a thread?
Yeah.
And maybe that doesn't bug other people as much as it bugs me. Maybe the younger internet generation understand that engaging strangers is a way of doing business. I don't.
No. And, you know, some people just like to argue. And I think they look for people that they can argue with. And the second that you bite on that argument, it's like, oh, they've already won because, you know, they've got someone to argue with.
Well, it's the goal of a troll is to engage you. And I say that, although we talk about it like that with that Leslie Jones business on Twitter and most of this stuff, if people would not engage it, especially when it's deliberately designed just to get a response or to provoke, if you don't go for it, then, you know, I removed myself from that whole conversation. The other one was, again, somebody that I'm only acquainted with. This was another recent one. There's a whole bunch I could probably point to, who I know probably doesn't agree with me on a lot of things, although there are some common interests as far as entertainment and movies and, you know, and again, girl seems appropriate, but I mean, she's not. She's a young lady, but young. And what was it she put up? You know, we've been following all this this national anthem flack, who's going to stand and who's going to sit and who's going to kneel and who's going to stand on their head. And it was a couple of weeks ago, and there was a story that came out. I know when it was. It was before September 11th is when it was. Because the games that were scheduled for Sunday, September 11th, one of the teams, I think it may have been the Seattle Seahawks, which is not surprising. Seattle is a hotbed of permissive leftism, but
lefty pinkos.
They were, it's awful. Washington is worse. You know, right. People talk about New York and California.
No.
Washington state is incredible.
Anytime you go northwest, you're in big trouble.
So there was something we weren't told immediately, but that what it was going to be, but whatever this particular football team, they were going to plan some kind of demonstration or spectacle, or they were going to do something on September 11th during the playing of the national anthem. Again, all this kind of mess is going on. Everybody knows and sees. And, well, this is a kind of a nerdy, geeky, leftist kind of girl. She's not interested in sports at all.
Yeah.
She doesn't know football. She doesn't care. And she said something to that effect. And this is a little different as opposed to the other example that I gave you that kind of took a little bit of time to unfold. It was sort of a gradual thing.
Yeah.
This one, I just had an immediate, visceral reaction to it. And she's like, you know, I don't even follow football. I don't even really care. But I just can't tell you how much I love this. And even had a little heart emoji. And I'm like, you know what? That tells me everything I need to know about you. Bye-bye. Again, didn't tell anybody, didn't tell her, not going to argue with her about it. That to me was just, that was over the line. Of all things, not only do I disagree, not only do I have all the same problems with it everybody else has, but when it struck me that these morons were going to do this on September 11th,
yeah,
which for many of us, it's an important day for everybody, and for some of us, it's near sacred. And for her to go, I just love this. I had a visceral reaction to it. It just made me near nauseous.
See, I have a problem with people that not necessarily were born after September 11th, but people that weren't adults when September 11th happened.
I understand what you're saying.
They don't have the sense of, you know, it's not as big a deal to them as it is to the rest of us. You know, I was 21 when it happened, and that was like the moment of my life, you know, like when people say, I remember when Kennedy was shot, or, you know.
Oh, sure, for all of us.
Bombing up Pearl Harbor.
Generation, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and these people just don't see it that way.
They've only grown up in a post 9/11 world, but they don't have any perspective of, they don't understand life before, and they don't have any perspective on the, I hate to say the significance of that day. I mean, I think they do, but not the significance as if we were there for the world that existed before.
Right.
And we've been here for the world that exists after. And we felt a painful shift.
And, you know, that whole time, there was a couple of months there where the whole nation was going through the stages of grief together. And we were all, you could see everybody in their own element, you know, but we were all suffering together.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't get that, I don't guess. But
it's an entitlement generation, and it's one that has been taught to believe, you know, that all the stuff that we've talked about in here, that people are victims, you know, black men have a target on their backs, gay people are persecuted, the country is awful, war is bad, there's a war on women, on and on and on and on. And, you know, and who are the bad guys?
Yeah.
You know, white heterosexual men.
Right.
Especially the ones with money. And who are the ones that really love to engage in guilt are the white women, you know, feminism and the pay gap and all stuff that they've been taught, you know, as if it's true. And the only thing they know to do is to internalize this manufactured guilt. All these things are true, and it's our fault. It's our fault, and America is so bad, you know, when it's not.
Right.
You know, I've made the argument in here that, or I don't know that I made the argument, I made the statement. There's no persecution going on. No. There's no persecution. And as a matter of fact, if you, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but if you talk about some of the groups that some people would say are quote unquote persecuted, I would actually make the other case. I would say that those are some of the most pandered to and catered to groups and people.
You want to see persecution? Go drop a gay person out in the middle of the Middle East.
Yeah.
I mean, they will kill that person.
But seriously, and I know some people are going to will bristle when I say this, but if you can remove emotion and really think about it for a minute, who is catered to, who is pandered to more?
Right.
Right? Who are the darlings of the political and social culture right now? More than gay people. You know what I'm saying? They kind of have the spotlight.
Right.
And I'm not, you know, necessarily griping or anything. I will gripe when you start saying you're persecuted. Mm-hmm. When I'm going, seems to me you're getting pretty much everything you want.
Yeah.
You're celebrities almost, just in a sexual identity. Mm-hmm. Very strange. You know, and then the whole victimhood mentality. And, yes. You know, I mean, what successful person do you know that thinks of themselves as a victim?
Well, I mean, how many persecuted people do you know that are sitting in an air-conditioned house with a full refrigerator?
Well, that's the other thing, too, is the poverty. Everybody lives below the poverty line. Well, yeah. What is the poverty line in the United States? People that are poor, our poor people have flat-screen TVs and smartphones.
Our poor people are fat.
Yeah.
I mean, how bad, I mean, I'm not saying anybody should starve or anything, but people that are poor in the United States are large folks. Yeah.
Welcome to the United States, where we have food insecurity and an obesity crisis at the same time.
Yeah.
And I jokingly said that one day on Facebook. Boy, and I had a leftist clergy friend just jump all over me. Well, if you would read the research in this book that so-and-so wrote on, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, man, you mistake my glibness for, sincerity. I was kind of halfway being joking, but again, this need to embellish and to exaggerate, this need to, it's a self-hatred. Mm-hmm. Why do we need to hate ourselves so much? And to be openly disrespectful, when the national anthem is played, I don't want to show patriotism because everything is so awful and I hate myself and I hate the country and I hate everybody else. And
I'm going to drive in my brand new Bentley home and to my multi-million-dollar house and deal with my $18 million contract and cry myself to sleep at night. I'm not a huge football fan. I mean, I'm not going to say that I watch every Sunday or whatever, but I will not watch football this season.
Yeah, there's no win or loss there for me. I'm not into it anyway.
I think it's ridiculous that you have people that are multi-millionaires for running a ball up and down the field that are saying they're persecuted.
I can't believe I'm about to say this. I don't want anything to sound like I'm defending the guy. But in fairness, your level of income or even your level of privilege shouldn't preclude you from or exclude you from participating in the conversation. Like, I don't like it on the other side if somebody says, that's a rich white heterosexual man, he's not allowed to have an opinion. Mm-hmm. Or contribute to, I mean, just because somebody is a millionaire or is privileged doesn't mean that they can't point out social injustices.
Yeah, I get that.
My argument would be that the crap he's pointing at doesn't exist.
Well, I mean, there's some things that...
And he is a spoiled brat.
Yeah. You're living in a country that has made you who you are.
A celebrity. Your name is on a jersey.
Right.
That hangs in stores.
That's part of it. Standing for that national anthem, standing for the pledge, that's all part of that nation that's made you what you are. And if you've got problems with it, awesome, talk about them, but don't disrespect that part of it.
It's not like he doesn't he doesn't have a platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can get on, he can write a letter to the editor, call or get on the internet. Mm-hmm. The celebrities, it's like we talked about them going off on rants during award shows.
Mm-hmm.
That drives me nuts.
Yeah,
it's not the time. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have a forum and it was the only opportunity that Leonardo DiCaprio had to speak.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But he can speak anytime he wants and anybody will listen. This guy,
Right.
I don't know, man.
That's the only thing that really
bugs
me.
Why do we hate ourselves so much?
I don't hate myself.
Well, I don't. Well, victim. Mm-hmm. Everybody's a victim. And that's what I'm telling you. If you buy that and you see yourself as a victim, you might as well hang it up. Nobody is successful that sees themselves as a victim.
And that's going to be part of the problem going forward. The people that made the country, the Henry Fords and all those, they didn't see themselves as starting out with nothing. I mean, they built themselves up from nothing.
They always saw what they could do.
Right.
What their potential was.
And they got in there and worked hard and, were innovators. And you just don't see that anymore. You don't see anybody with that kind of drive or want to put that much effort
in. Well, no, because we've told them that they're victims.
Mm-hmm.
The playing field's not level. Everything's stacked against you. You can't do it because it's that soft bigotry that I talk about
mm-hmm.
all the time. So, yeah, okay. So I ejected and unfriended on that one. This has been some time ago, and I didn't point it out or talk about it, I don't think. But Dr. Floyd, my leftist professor friend, I finally had to, I unfollowed him for some time, and then finally just, he posted some ridiculous racist stuff and some anti-government, anti-police stuff. It was just buying into all the same lies. And, mm-hmm. And oddly enough, for somebody that is so engaged and studied and teaches on the subject of civil rights, mm-hmm. They don't even see it when they practice or racism in their own right. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
And just further in the same negative. And here's the thing to me, and I hope everybody hears this. It has become so easy to, like, if you're one of these people that says, oh, you know, you're on there complaining about the police, and then you realize that you have, like, a policeman friend, and you go, well, not all policemen are bad. don't say that.
Yeah.
Don't say that. That's insulting, okay? Mm-hmm. That's kind of like, well, some of my best friends are black. It's like doing that. You know, not all of them are bad. You know, the ones I know are good. How insulting. Don't say that, okay?
In any kind of career, you're going to have bad folks in it. Anything. I mean, you can pick any career there is, from ministers to preschool workers. There's going to be some bad folks in it. And you don't put them on the news every day when you have it, you know? But a policeman, if there is, there does happen to be one that misuses his power, it's all you hear about for weeks. And they don't talk about the 99.9% of them that are out there every day trying to help everybody they can. You
because
know?
People aren't concerned about that 99%. They think the 99% are all bad now.
Right.
Here's what I'm saying as far as a social media practice.
Mm-hmm.
And this should be true before you do anything. I mean, like, all right, how can I make an example? There are some things that really bug me about the, maybe I should just be candid and not sit here and try to be safe. Look, my wife is a teacher. Well, you're a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that bug me about the culture and the groupthink of teachers in this country.
Me too.
There's a real entitlement mentality. You know, I work 180 something days out of the year, but yet I deserve this and I deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're heroes and we're heroes. No, you're not. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
Do I dislike? I'm not saying I dislike teachers. I don't. They're mm-hmm. great. I had wonderful teachers whom I still love and I'm friends with on Facebook and stuff. But the way the teachers unions have turned everything in the entitlement mentality of teachers, and they don't, you know, it's like they don't want to be evaluated at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't evaluate me on the test scores of my students. Why not? You know, I mean, I know some of those things do have problems.
Yeah.
There are things that need to be addressed. I'm talking about an attitude. And the way I see pushback from teachers, they're so resentful of and defensive is the word, about mm-hmm. everything. Now, here's what I don't do. I don't get on Facebook and I go on a rant about it.
Right.
Now, why don't I do that?
Because you're married to a teacher.
Well, I would be eviscerated in short order.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if I wanted to start a fire. Nurses. I have mm-hmm. a bunch of friends who are nurses. Now, I don't even particularly have problems with nurses. But if I got on there and went on a rant about nursing,
mm-hmm.
I would be eviscerated. And what I'm saying is, I think about, even though I hold opinions on things,
mm-hmm.
before I get on the Facebook or mm-hmm. whatever and start mouthing off, I think about who my friends are.
Right.
I think about who's reading this.
But, you know,
I think about who's going to be hurt or offended.
It's okay to have an opinion and not say it.
It's good. Yes. I wish more people would.
It's all right to have a differing view from somebody and not just absolutely go out to fight with them. You know?
But yet, I see stuff day after day after day after day about what dogs, you know, policemen are mm-hmm. and how awful the country is, and don't militarize the police and the police this, and, you know, black men have a target on their back, on and on. And then I'll kind of jump in under the comments and go, what the crap? Sorry, Dave. Not you. I know. And here we go.
Officer Dave, I'm sorry.
I know there's some good ones out there. I know. I wasn't talking about you. I know that most of them are good. And all that same tired garbage. And it's like, hey, you have friends that do this job. I have friends that are Turches? What's a turch? Teachers and nurses. I was trying to combine the two.
Oh.
Teachers and nurses. Churches. And, you know, And I don't want to hurt their feelings. Mm-hmm. I don't want to insult them. And the problems that I think that are in the teaching profession are not problems with them individually. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, that's you're doing the same thing. No, I'm saying the problem is not with individual teachers. The problem is with the system that's been created and the unionization and all this other stuff. Go ahead. You were about to say something.
Okay. Well, I was going to say that on my Facebook, I have a few websites or a few pages that I like that are opposing police just because I like to see what they put up there sometimes.
I understand.
Because it's hilarious. The stuff that they put up there is like being anti-police. Because the one time I have a pro-police and anti-police right on top of each other with the same picture, two completely separate articles on the same event.
Yeah. Uh-huh,
you know, uh-huh. I mean,
the way you spin it.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And teachers, probably the same way. There's, you know, you can spin it both ways.
Yeah, and I would rather hear, I hope everybody hears the overall point I'm trying to make for now. I'll get eviscerated over this. You know, did you hear what he said about teachers? The point is, well, you made it much more succinctly and articulate is, just because you think a thing doesn't mean you have to say a thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, so have you had any examples of unfriending that you've done recently?
Or? You know, I try.
You probably don't give it much thought after you do it. Probably hard for you to recall one.
Well, I don't really do any unfriending because I don't really, when I put some up as a friend, I don't really follow them. I don't know how you explain that, but I don't, you know, so my feed is just people that I'm really close to.
You can do that. You can not unfriend them, but unfollow them so that their stuff doesn't pop up.
Right.
But you're still connected, yeah.
Like my best friend in high school, all he puts up is like insane clown posse memes. And like cuss words after every other word. So, I mean, I don't want to unfriend him because he's my best friend from high school, but I don't necessarily want
to
see that.
So, you went to high school with this guy. Now, you're in your mid 30s, right? What are you now? 36, 37?
36.
And this is a 36 year old, yes, roughly?
37, yeah.
Who is still into.
He's a juggalo. Yeah. He goes to the gathering of the juggalos.
This is an adult.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What do you know? All right. Let's just jump now because it piqued my curiosity. Let's just jump there.
Okay.
What, explain any of that. How do you understand it, observe it through what you've seen with your friend here? Can you have any insight?
Well, me and Eric have been friends since we were in seventh grade. And his mom was like my mom growing up. I mean, we were at each other's houses all the time. And, you know, he had an awesome childhood. His dad was kind of a pain in the butt. But, you know, I mean, whose dad wasn't? You know, in the mid to late 80s, everybody's dad was kind of a pain in the butt, you know? And so when we got out of high school, first he didn't graduate. He didn't have enough credits to graduate, so he had to stay an extra year. And during that year, he got an insane clown posse. And he got these tattoos of insane clown posse. He wouldn't have all the different album covers.
When he was still at school or when he was failing out.
Yeah.
Did his interest in the... Now, we should explain. No, because I wouldn't have understood this at one point in time. Insane Clown Posse is a musical group, mm-hmm. right? And they wear kabuki face makeup that looks like clown makeup, sort of. And their followers do the same. There's a whole costume or a culture, right. I guess.
Juggalos and juggalettes.
You're called, if you follow them, you're a juggalo. I'm trying to think what would be similar to that. I don't know. Maybe something will come
maybe
to
like
me.
A deadhead?
Sort of. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. More of a culture in this, though, I think. But either way, when you were talking about him, you know, failing out of school, that was my next question was, you know, what was the proximity of, you know, was he already into this stuff?
He started dressing all in the stuff and the big baggy jeans with the chain wallets and shaving his head and stuff. And he just kind of knew something was going on with him, you know.
Probably couldn't get away wearing the makeup to school.
Probably not,
I don't know.
Probably made fun of
I mean, have you been around him? Does he wear the makeup? Or?
No. Well, I mean, I guess when he goes to the things, he does.
You don't? Okay. All right.
I don't know. I try to, you know, we've been friends since high school, but I see him maybe once every couple of years now because he lives in Knoxville and I live here, you know. In fact, I had to find him. He was living under a bridge one time.
Oh, wow.
And had to go, you know, see where he was and talk to him and stuff.
What do you think it is about people? I'm almost a little bit more I'm more accepting of like teenagers or young people. Adults really confuse me. What is it in people that or people that need to wear a costume?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Yeah.
Like kids gotta you know, look like goth or death or adults that have to wear you know, motorcycle riding jackets or leather everywhere they go. And you know, there are people in our lives that need to wear a costume of some sort. Well, you know what I'm saying, right? I'm trying not to be awkward, but
you know, some people peak in high school, and they know they've peaked in high school, and so they try to keep that, you know, that costume up or that face up for the rest of their lives, you know. And some folks don't peak till after high school, and I think they realize that, hey, I'm going uphill now and I'll be going downhill later, and that's all right. That's the way life goes. You know, but if you've met your natural life peak at 10th grade, then, I mean, what do you got to look forward to?
You think that's what it is a retardation in emotional development or something?
I think it takes him back to his childhood, you know, when he was 16, 17 years old, driving in his Cutlass Supreme with the T-tops down, listening to the CDs and... You know, I don't think.
I mean, I understand there are different motivations. There are different lifestyles that that appeal to people: the juggalo lifestyle, or the goth lifestyle, or the biker lifestyle. A lot of these things have been made glamorous, so it's not that I don't understand the appeal. I don't really understand why those things would appeal, but. The way they've been sold, I understand the interest. I guess what it is for me is like maybe I'm over explaining it. Maybe you've already gathered what I'm saying, but this need to appear physically, not even just hanging on to a mentality, but I mean to physically dress and appear and that's the only word that I can think of, in a costume.
Do you think the Comic-Con people have the same deal? To dress up like the slave princess.
They do that
Leia.
For events, though. I mean, that's a. Is there some of that? Maybe.
Yeah.
But that's not. It's not a common. It's not a common costume or uniform. Maybe that's a way to put it.
Yeah.
Because
it's not like their lifestyle is that.
No, it's an event. It's a craft. I want to craft my and have the best costume that I can have, and they all look different.
Yeah.
Now there is a geek culture, but I don't know that it has a costume to it. You know, and I wear T-shirts with stuff that I like that has band names on it and or comic books and stuff. But I don't. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't dress in a costume.
You don't set out every day to look the. Same part
as
you go out every day
so that people know that I'm like I look like death, like a goth vampire.
I don't put a lot of work into what I look like. I think that's what the I just I've got if I wear a pair of khakis, wear a button-up shirt, I'm not going to put the chains on my wallet and then jewelry on and then make sure my hair is perfect.
Well, there's good work and there's bad work when it comes to appearance.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're talking about looking nice and stuff, as long as you're not being vain, I appreciate that. Think about all the work people are putting into to paint their fingernails black and
and that seems like a lot of work to me.
Put powdered white powder on their face,
put 22 cross chains on their neck.
Right. I don't. There's something in our psyche. I don't know if it's a need to belong in young adults. I get it more. You know that need to find identity. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about like adults that dress in. Especially of all things, like where is that supposed to take you in life? Mm-hmm. What benefit do you get from? Even if you join the Freemasons, at least your brother Masons will take care of you. You know,
the Juggalos
they'll take care of you. Will the Juggalos take care of your widow? I don't.
Is anybody dying for Juggalodom or?
And really, and then they get all offended because the FBI labels them as a hate group or a criminal organization or something. That's really all it is. Of course, they get all defensive about it. But have you seen any of that in your kids, though? I don't see your kids dressing like anything. Are you going to have one go goth on you biker on you?
Mine are really into labels now. Like they've got to wear Aeropostale or Abercrombie.
That's been true for generations.
I don't think that's ever going to stop, but... Man, I wish it would. That's
the,
so expensive.
The status. Go to Goodwill, man. And if you go to the good Goodwill stores, especially in the bigger towns and stuff, if you go to Jackson, so you can get a lot of good name brand stuff. That's how. No shame in the game.
Shoot, I would go, but I'd have to go on my own without my kids because they
Yeah. Yeah, Gretchen, we'll go with you. Okay. That's how we kept Nathan in clothes. Mm-hmm. Now, we had a whole different dynamic, though. Now, we had a boy who was a new size every week. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was going somewhere paying full price for nice clothes, I mean, I couldn't have done it.
Yeah.
We had to go to Goodwill, and we had to go on the weekend when everything's half price.
Well, I was talking to my buddy the other day, and we were shopping for school clothes. I took the girls school clothes shopping, and it took like 4 hours and like $600 or $700 just to start out with. And he's like, I said, I don't even think I took my kids with me. I went to Walmart and spent like $100 a piece. He has two boys.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, oh, I wish I had boys.
I can see advantages, disadvantages on either side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we certainly had to keep buying clothes for Nathan constantly, mm-hmm. but he wasn't as particular about what those clothes were.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to buy a lot of them. Because every time we turned around, brother, he was in a new size. I mean, he would outgrow stuff within a week of bringing it home.
I guess it's a good thing about having stair-step kids, because mine can just pass them on down to the next person.
There you go. Well, but will they get resentful of that?
Wow.
They don't want to. I don't want to wear something somebody wore, especially if that name brand is not in fashion anymore.
Right. No. Graylin doesn't seem to mind, but she's 7, so
exactly. That'll change. Well, she, you know, the others will indoctrinate her.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a Dear Abby, and this kind of goes sort of to what we were talking about. And I have done this, I think. This lady writes to Dear Abby, clearly, America is in a state of turmoil. I'm horrified. I'm ashamed of the senseless death occurring daily. I deal with anxiety, particularly regarding fear of death. As a result, the only thing I have found that I can do to cope with current events is to scan headlines and ask my understanding husband for a synopsis of events that doesn't include major triggers.
Triggered.
Yeah. Well,
can't say triggered anymore either, can you?
Yeah, right. Is it because it triggers people who've been victims of gun violence?
Who are triggered.
However, she says, I feel serious guilt that I may not be fully educating myself on recent events. Am I wrong to prioritize my mental well-being over the gravity of our country's current situation? And this lady signs Serious Guilt is her pen name.
Oh,
now,
gosh.
I'll say this. This lady does come off like a big sissy cream puff.
Mm-hmm. You
know, like, this is a lot of what's wrong with us right now, that we can't handle things.
Yeah.
But let me kind of jump to her defense a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
She recognizes that the problem is her.
Mm-hmm.
She recognizes, she says, I deal with anxiety. I have anxiety. She has it, okay? Mm-hmm. Whether she should, whether she's a big cream puff or not, she recognizes she has it. She says, particularly regarding fear of death. And when she reads all these headlines or reads all these news stories, or the, you know, and we're bombarded with it, you know, death and violence and arguing and hatred and blah, 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 that she can't handle it personally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was going to say. I have done this. And maybe I even kind of do it to some degree all the time. I don't always read just a whole lot of news anymore, just a lot of articles.
I was
going to
say, I can't remember the last time I stopped at 7 o'clock and watched the 7 o'clock news.
I take a break. I don't watch our local news at all, but that's a whole different conversation.
But I mean, even like reading the newspaper or whatever, I'd rather just read the little local paper that doesn't actually have any news in it, just local events, that kind of thing.
Right. Goings on.
Yeah. You know.
Well, so here's the other side. Now, she's got the anxiety and the avoidance on one hand,
mm-hmm.
but she says she feels guilty because she's willfully being ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. There's a part of you that goes, am I bettering myself as a person? Should I not feel guilty that, like you think, does this mean I don't care?
Mm-hmm.
I get it. You think you kind of feel what she's feeling?
Yeah. You know, I really don't think anybody ever disservices themselves by not looking at the news. I mean, really.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's ever hurt themselves by not knowing what's going on nationally or internationally. You know what I mean?
You don't feel like you're practicing. That you should feel some guilt that you're practicing a willful ignorance, or that it somehow, that it does it demonstrate apathy, that you don't care?
I mean, it could be apathy, or it could just be knowing that your spot in the universe isn't going to necessarily change that.
Well, and we've all had that moment, let's say, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning when we can't sleep, we're up late watching cable TV, and here it comes. Sally Struthers comes on TV crying about some kids, and they start showing you these images with the kids with the swollen bellies and
75 cents a day
and the flies around their head. And you know, you get up, you change the channel or you roll your eyes or you go to, but you do that. And then the next thing you do is you go, oh, I'm such an awful person. You know
what's bad though, is I see that commercial and it doesn't make me feel near as bad as the Sarah McLaughlin one with the dogs.
Yeah.
That makes me feel horrible when I see the one with the dogs.
Yep.
And that's bad. I mean, that makes me feel bad that like the starving kids in Africa, I'm like, oh, whatever, you know, but the dogs are like, oh, the poor dogs.
That's true of most people, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, even the big leftist feminist women and stuff, oddly enough, is funny. You know, you can show them some kind of news story about a child being abused or neglected and show them one with an animal being abused or neglected. Yeah. What will get them more excited first?
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, the real meat of this is in her question in the last sentence. Am I wrong to prioritize my mental well-being over the gravity of our country's current situation, meaning that she knows she's not educating herself on things. To me, like if I'm writing this, as soon as I write those first few words, am I wrong to prioritize my mental well-being? It seems like to me the light bulb would go off like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Especially if it causes you anxiety. If this is really troubling you, don't, out of some sense that you need to stay informed, and we do want an informed public, but my goodness, not if it's going to cause you, you know, not to be able to function.
Right.
Yes, choose your own well-being over your this idea that you need to read the news.
So, I mean, you think about putting yourself back in colonial times, living out in the country here in Tennessee, you would probably have zero idea what's going on in the world. And probably have no care for what's going on.
Just outside of your immediate area.
Right.
Yeah.
But now, no matter where you are, you're bombarded constantly with every little... And everything's got to be...
Everything around the world.
Everything's
and stuff
be,
in space, too.
Everything's got to be breaking, too. It's got to be, you know, the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah. They're competing with a hyperbole.
Right.
You know, always with that. Competing with clickbait headlines. Well, I think Abby's right on. And she says, wrong? Question mark. Absolutely not. Now, here we go. According to the Journal of American Medical Association,
JAMA,
13% of Americans now use antidepressants to combat depression and anxiety. Our news media feed so many salacious details into our homes in the interest of high ratings. She says, what you just said. It's a miracle the majority of Americans aren't in need of them. Antidepressants, she talks about.
It's scary that 87% of us are running around unmedicated.
Abby took a little swipe at the media there, didn't she?
She did.
She kind of identified them as the source of the problem.
Well, I mean, it's true. If you've got, you know, CNN, 24-hour news, then you've got to have sensational stuff to fill up 24 hours worth of news so people will watch it. And if you make the smallest story sensational, then of course you have people out here that are anxious about every little thing that happens. You know?
And here's what I saw. I saw this the other day, and this really made me mad. And it was a good news story. It wasn't even a bad news story. There's a guy who, what is it? I think it's a transit authority or something in one of the larger towns near where we live. And this guy has worked for the transit authority like nearly 20 years. Started at the bottom. Works himself up for 20 years. This guy busted his hump and now has gone from the bottom all the way to the top. They've named him the director or the manager. It's an incredible story, an inspiring story, a story about hard work. And, you know, like, you know, if I'm right, here's my headline, 20-year employee, you know, named director, something to that effect. You know, what did the headline read for our local news station? First African-American appointed director of
underqualified person appointed director.
That was the story that they made out of it. And people think, well, that's the way to do it. That's not the way to do it. That made me furious because that completely undermined this guy's work. The story is about how this guy earned that job. He earned it. And they took away, to me, they took away what he earned by making it a story about what? Race.
Well, you know, I am kind of an expert because I was the editor of my high school newspaper.
Right.
But, you know, it used to be you'd have feature stories in the paper. You'd have people in the area that were featured for good stuff, you know, that they did. And you don't have that anymore. You really don't. And if you do, it's something that they've sensationalized to make it you know, edgy or, you know, have multi facets to it, you know?
Yes. And I wouldn't, you know, call this edgy or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But it even in a good news, quote unquote, story, even in a fluff piece or whatever, it's another example of what's wrong. I was insulted for this guy. Mm-hmm. This guy worked for 20 years from the bottom up and earned it. This wasn't handed to him. He busted his hump and he earned it. And it's a great story. Mm-hmm. And they made it about race. And once they made it about race, they took away from him, mm-hmm. his story of earning this job. I don't know. Am I being overly sensitive?
No, you are not.
I need to get on antidepressants.
Yes, you need to be on Paxil and Prozac and Xanax all together.
Take a break from the news.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But that's our local news station, too, and that's why I said I don't... You couldn't pay me to even watch them.
Well, we're in that weird spot where you can get news from Memphis, Jackson, or Paducah.
Yeah.
And the Memphis news is always bad. Like,
well, yeah. Yeah,
always horrible.
And those guys, you know, having been in the news business and, mm-hmm. and occasionally dealt with some of the reporters and stuff, mm-hmm. networking with them, I always had a problem with them. They play very fast and loose. Mm-hmm. They will say things and print things and publicize things, televise things without attribution. Mm-hmm. They play really loose. They play really fast and loose. And we had something come up several years ago locally when I was in the news business. And we were waiting on something to break. We knew it was coming, like an arrest was going to be made in a big case.
Yeah.
And we were waiting on our information. Then all of a sudden, people started calling us and going, look, the outlets in Shelby County are already reporting this happened and that happened. Mm-hmm. Well, I got on the phone and I called them. I said, I see you guys are reporting this. We're sitting down here. You know, we're in this town, mm-hmm. right up the street from what's happening, waiting on confirmation. You guys are... printing things, I said, but I don't see any attribution. You know, what I mean by that, for folks that are listening may not understand, you do, you've been a journalist.
Mm-hmm. Professional journalist.
Is, you know, if you make a statement, you know, mm-hmm. the reporter doesn't declare anything.
Right.
If I make a statement of fact, I'm going to attribute it to somebody. Randall said this happened. Mm-hmm. And there's no attribution. They're making statements of fact that things had occurred. And so,
and hypothetically, that person should be in the know of what's going on, or like an expert. It shouldn't just be some random person.
Well,
off the street.
That's what our local stations here do, is they interview man on the street interview and mm-hmm. people that have nothing to do with anything going on. But if they can't get anything else, they'll get an opinion from somebody standing outside the convenience store. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was pretty hot that day, and I called down to one of the Memphis stations and I said, I see this on your website, but there's no attribution. Mm-hmm. You know, where did this come from? Oh, hang on a minute. Let me transfer you over here. They transferred about three or four people. Nobody could answer
because
they didn't have an answer. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know, hung up without any. Oh, we'll look into that. It's like, yeah, right. But now our other station, our the station closer to home for us, our TV station, they'll just publicize or televise anything. Mm-hmm. If they don't have any details or can't get them, they'll go to the convenience store, wait for people to come out and go, hey, what do you think about what happened?
Yeah.
People that had no involvement, no knowledge, no nothing. And that's a horrible way to do business. And they'll just let people say anything.
I was on the Knoxville News once.
What were you on the news for?
Well, at the time I was running a Napa auto parts store, and it was when gas really started going up. It was like $3, $4 a gallon. And so we sold out of locking gas caps in that day. So I was interviewed about our run on locking, and I had the full news lady came out to the store with the camera and everything. You figured just be like,
so people couldn't siphon your gas. They couldn't get your gas. Yeah.
So I had to like go to the shelter, and like the interview was so funny because I was like a deer in headlights. And then like the last part of the interview is me going over to the shelf where the locking gas caps are and pulling the box off where the gas caps were kept and it was empty, you know? But it was so funny because I got made fun of so bad for that.
Yeah, you're a little nervous being on camera.
Well, yeah, and then all the other store managers were like, well, she asked me to do it, but I didn't want to.
I see.
I was the only idiot that, you know.
Yeah, and then the camera was on. You had to perform.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was bad.
I'm sorry for you, buddy.
It's okay.
Maybe you'll get another chance someday. You'll be on the news again.
It was 10 years ago. I'm almost over it now.
All right, we'll call it a day for today. If you haven't yet, get on your Facebook and unfriend some folks. It'll make you feel better about yourself. And don't be afraid, man. Just pull the trigger on them. Just pull the trigger
on them.
And
tell them. Tell them why.
No, you ain't got to do all that. Don't be that guy either. Yeah. Don't make a spectacle out of
it. I'm unfriending you because you're not friendly.
quietly, like a ninja, just kill them off quietly.
Like 3 months from now, they'll be like, I haven't seen anything from such and such lately. Yeah.
And normally the people I do too, they're people that have several hundred friends. And it's like, I always think they won't notice. Mm-hmm. And if anybody ever has, they've never asked me or anything. So yeah, do yourself a favor, man. Unfriend some folks, avoid the news for a while. And I've said it in here too. Take a social media break.
Yeah.
Check out a Facebook for a while and leave. Mm-hmm. I promise you, if you've not ever tried it, you'd be amazed what it'll do to your mood.
Mm-hmm. Read a book.
Yeah, right. Read some comics. Read some good comics. Get some fantasy in your life. Get away. Get some fantasy.
Be bored for a while. It's nice to be bored for just a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Okay. We'll call it a day for today. I'm Pastor Dave, sitting with Randall the Armor Bearer. Coming up soon. It's almost time for our Halloween spooktacular.
Spooktacular.
It's so awful because I spend most of the year thinking about that one. I have. I've been so excited about doing it. I think we're going to have a cool guest or two. So
we're going to have a guest appearance.
Yeah. I'm Pastor Dave with Randall the Armor Bearer. We are
They That Believe.